Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Bill Theis. He's the vice chair of the Long Island Firefighters Legislative Committee and an AME member from Consumer Affairs. Bill, thanks for joining us this morning.
Dan, thanks for having me back. You guys, I owe you a debt of gratitude. You helped us get that ambulance bill through. Yourself, Matty Arison from Nassau Suffolk Building Trades, Noel from the Suffolk County PBA. They were all out there pushing for this bill, and the governor put in the budget. So we have 4 years to make this thing work.
No, it's we discussed this, you and I, you know, offline, but also on the air. We think this is a very important bill. One, we didn't want to see insurance companies peeling off taxpayer dollars and putting it in their pocket, not providing services. That was one. And two, there's so much good that could be done with the resources that come in. And our members, when they're not, you know, I mean, you're an excellent example. When they're not on the job doing their 9-to-5, quote unquote, for the county, they're volunteering their time and efforts, putting themselves out there in very dangerous situations. I mean, volunteer firefighting is, you know, it isn't just getting cats out of trees, right? It's, you know, some pretty dangerous work. And so on the recruitment and retention side of things, to have the ability to bring people in, train them, and make sure that they're fairly considered in this whole process. We thought this was very important.
Well, it's like anything else. Like you said, our brothers and sisters from AME, the laborers from the Nassau Suffolk Building Trades, the average person don't realize 3/4 of these people volunteers, whether they're on the ambulance, whether they're firefighters, whether they're fire police, whether they're part-time nurses, whether they're making our
Even
community in Suffolk County protected
and
to make sure everybody's healthy. And like I said, again, I thank this union for coming out there and supporting us.
I appreciate it. You know, anytime, you know, as you know, any of our members, when they come forward and they've got these ideas, we consider it, we weigh it out, and we do what we can. We're very proud to see this be successful. And really, one of the things that we were able to help with here, you know, to not give ourselves too much credit, but it was great for us to be able to come in as a group that wasn't technically a vested interest in this, right? You know, they say, okay, well, this doesn't really pertain to you. And you say, yeah, but it affects my members who do this stuff, and we think this is important. And we think that helped tip the scales a little, you know.
Yes,
and along with all the other conversations that were had, I mean, and the time had come. I mean, almost everywhere else, they were doing this common sense thing, and the state of New York hadn't gotten around to it, you know, again. Let's not pay insurance companies to not provide a service that the volunteers are providing. So,
and like you said, it did pertain to you because your members benefited from this.
Mm-hmm.
Terryville, Farmingville, I'm just using them as an example.
Yeah.
We have
our
ambulances. We're able now to recoup some of our money to where we don't have to put that burden on the taxpayers.
Right.
And give them the best possible care and the best possible equipment with this little extra money that we're getting in.
Right. And that's, you know, that's the thing. You have the extra equipment now, the maybe the better equipment, less worn out, and increased training. You know, this is a good resource to have. So in the initial announcement, I mentioned that you're the vice chair of the Long Island Firefighters Legislative Committee. What is that?
So anyway, the Legislative Committee for Long Island is Nassau and Suffolk Firefighters, Fire Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
There's 12 members voting from Nassau and 12 from Suffolk. We come along and work with the other organizations. FASNY's done a tremendous job.
Sure.
Ed Tate and Gene Perry from Patchogue Fire Department, Ed from upstate, has done a tremendous job protecting our 44,000 members with bills that are out there. The Fire District Association, Kenny Preston, Don Corkery, Joe Bedalia, works very hard. And, of course, the Fire Chiefs Association, we're all combined. All four of us work to get what we have to get through. So the Long Island Ledge, we work on with these organizations and try and get some of our bills passed. I know this year we're looking at increase the cancer bill.
Sure.
We're looking to maybe do the civil service bill to where Joe DiStefano and Mr. Brooks brought that up last year, that if you're a civil servant worker, you have over 5 years in the fire service. For every five, you can get a year back to your retirement up to three.
Right.
We're going to be pushing that. You know, everybody don't realize It's easy to talk that the volunteers, it's this and that. We come out 24/7. We're doing our job to protect our people.
Right.
And we are losing people. Between today's environment, people working two jobs, you can't ask a husband or a wife to come down if they're trying to pay their bills. It's not cheap on Long Island to live. It's a fantastic place to live, work, and play, but it's not cheap. So we have to give these incentives to get these volunteers to come down, because if we did pay the fire department, the taxes would be just too much for us to pay. It would just wouldn't be right. And going off that script a little bit, Dan, I'd like to see us get involved with Jessica Ramos and LaToya join us, minimum wage increase.
Sure.
$15 an hour. We can't buy a hero for $15.
Right.
I'd like to see everybody in the state assembly get behind this bill in 2024. The minimum wage will be $21.25. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see everybody get behind this. And the reason I'd like to see this, the people that are making on meals, making $15 an hour, they're probably saying to themselves, well, what am I going to feed my family tonight on only $15?
Therein lies the problem. This is where, you know, this is where I start getting mad a little. The idea that, you know, what's been called entry-level jobs, these entry-level quote-unquote workers, are just going to be there for a little bit and they're going to go on with their lives. You know, and I think of things like fast food, right? And they say, well, you know, it's really a high school kid's job. You know, they don't really need to earn so much. They're living at home. They don't really have the same expenses. And it's a great way to keep the cost of the burgers down. Well, the fact of the matter is there are other countries that pay $25, $26 an hour to start, give like 6 weeks of vacation, all of this crazy other stuff. And that same chain, that same restaurant, sells their burgers for less. The fact of the matter is I think this is greed. And the argument that this is high school kids working these jobs, then those restaurants wouldn't be open when high school was in session, would it? Right? Because those high school kids should be in high school. You look at, you know, there's a couple of states, and I've talked about this last time, and I'm really going to try and keep it under control. There are states that are saying, we can't find people to take jobs. Rather than reduce the profitability of these multi-billion dollar corporations, we're going to lower the age with which people can start working, making 16-year-olds go out and do jobs that adults should be doing. This is a horrible pattern, and we are all in this together. Whether you are a union person or you're not, the fact of the matter is there are a handful of corporations that are profiting horrendously, like so much on this belief, and they have completely poisoned our culture with this idea of human beings don't deserve as much as other human beings. That's absolute nonsense. I'm trying really hard not to curse, but you can't tell me that you go into a local fast food chain during the day to grab your lunch, and the people that you see behind the counter are high school kids. That's not the truth. And these people aren't just working that job. They have to work other jobs because they're not getting the money in. And the nonsense story of, well, you know, if they were better people, or if, you know, if they had tried hard, maybe had they gone to college, you know, maybe they would just have one job. There are limitations people have on their schedule. They have to take care of their kids. They may have a loved one at home that needs their time and attention. It isn't feasible all the time. These are human beings. They deserve to be able to, and again, just a general concept, labor deserves the right to access what they produce, right? You have to be able to, you know, if you are building, I don't know, DVD players, you should make enough to be able to afford a DVD player. To tell people your worth in this world, being alive and your ability to stay alive is diminished because you can only find these quote-unquote entry-level jobs, that's horrible. That is a nonsense argument, and this is propagated by very big people with very big money that are, you know, pushing us against each other and against our best interests. We can afford to do better. We know we can do better. This bill needs to pass.
I'm with you on that. And talking about myself and my wife, Linda, 3 years ago, we were in Australia. We did go to a Mickey D's, mm-hmm. and their salary there was $25 an hour.
$25.
They do not take tips.
Right.
They survive on that now, $25 an hour. So let's go back to now, $15 an hour. So what's that, $120 a day, $600 a week? How do you fare handle a family of four.
You've got to, now you're going to get taxed out from that, right? You need the ability to get to and from that job. I mean, unless you're living physically next door to the restaurant you're working in, I mean, none of this adds up. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why we as rational people have bought this argument that some people are worth less.
That's,
you know, worth less than a basic existence.
Right. It's just not right. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm with you. Let's pass this bill, this session, before they come home.
So let's talk a little bit about DASNY and grants. So, you know, your firefighter legislative committee is focused on securing the outstanding grants for local and Long Island fire departments. How long have some of these grants been outstanding?
Well, as you can see, on the Long Island Ledge, we try and help every district that we can. Mm-hmm. Now, when Monica Martinez was elected in 2019, she got 7 district grants. It's called DASNY.
Mm-hmm.
Mastic Beach, $250,000 for a pumper.
Mm-hmm.
Mastic, $380,000 for radios. $150,000 for West Sayville. $150,000 for West Sayville Fire Department. Blue Point has a grant out there. $30,000 for a grant for Medford fire prevention trailer. We're out there doing what we have to do. And this lady, when she was the senator, she got these grants. All the paperwork's done and we just want some of the grants, the grants for Mastic and Mastic Beach, we've been waiting 3 years.
Right.
So I have to say, in their defense, Dean Murray and Alexa Work, they're out there trying to get these grants done. Monica Martinez is going to work with them also. Yep. So when they get back to Albany, we just want to see where this Jessica Ramos said she'd get involved to help.
Right.
This has nothing to do with politics. This is for emergency service people's lives and to save the taxpayers some money that we don't have to increase. Take like Mastic. They need radios for when they go into a working fire and to check to make sure those firemen and the people occupied are getting out.
Right.
So it's nothing that we're not using the money for. We need the money.
Right.
The grants are up there. 2 grants are already in the Senate finance portion of it. It's been 22 months. We need people to help us and get this money to these proper districts.
Yeah, and listen, you're talking about precision equipment here. When you're in a life and death situation, you need to know that everything is going to be there and that it's going to work. Otherwise, lives are at risk, and not just the folks that are in the fire that you're looking to rescue, but the folks that are going in to do the rescuing.
Right. Perfect example, Patchogue Fire Department put in for a grant for a fire boat.
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, over on the South Shore, that water is packed with people.
Yeah.
They need that in case there's a boat problem. They need that boat. The thing, what I look about with these grants is that how do we know these districts have not already laid that money out knowing this money was coming?
Right.
So we got to get an answer this session. True. And like I said, I got to give her credit. Monica is going to work with the other 3 senators to try and find out what's happening here.
Sure. And, you know, that's one thing about Senator Martinez. It isn't just a party issue for her. She's demonstrated that she's willing to work from you know, with folks across the aisle and diverse groups from all over the state of New York to make sure that good things are getting done. So, you know, it's my expectation that if she said she's going to work with you, that she will.
Yes.
Yeah. So moving into, I guess maybe a little bit of your AME side of work. You are an AME member. You work in the Department of Consumer Affairs. What is it specifically that you do there?
So anyway, like anything else, I'm constantly up. You guys all know I'll call you 4 or 5 in the morning. Sure. We're ready to start our day. So I got this little part-time job with the Department of Labor, mainly the Consumer Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to go out there. If you have a job that took county grants, I have to go out there and make sure that it's a fair living wage for those workers.
Right.
We're there to protect the workers, making sure they're being taken care of properly. I go out there, check their license, check their Social Security. We go back to the company that's supposed to be paying them, and we make sure that that's being done.
Sure.
And we've found in some cases where it hasn't been, and we got the people some money back. But the people in Consumer Affairs and the Department of Labor, along with all our departments in Suffolk County, our residents should be proud of them. They work 24/7. They're dedicated workers. You take the Department of Labor, they're out there every day looking for employment for people.
Sure.
We're giving coats to people that need them in the wintertime, dresses for their proms. I don't think the average resident, because they're working so much, realize the service that this county gives them.
No, there is quite a lot of service that the county gives. And in addition, it's worth pointing out, the general fund, which is a lot of what AME operates off of when you talk about the county budget, the general fund on average is less than $100 a year. $100 a year to provide thousands and thousands of jobs that are literally just there working for the community, catching bad guys and making sure that good people are taken care of. You know, the vulnerable populations from the youngest to the oldest, like you say, the focus of the Consumer Affairs Department, looking out for workers, looking out for consumers. These are big deal jobs. You know, I've said it so many times, altruistic by nature. You take a government job, you're not going to make a huge living. You'll get a little something on the back end that'll keep you afloat in retirement. Most people take these jobs and keep these jobs for the love of the community and that feeling of giving back. And that's why you see so many volunteer firefighters. You see so many, you know, even before I had mentioned, you know, little league coaches and whatever else. If there is a way to volunteer in the community, there's a good chance that that person who's volunteering and helping out and giving of their time is in some way tied to civil service.
And the reason that's the reason I came back into public service, it's a great thing to give back to the people that are asking for our help. Going back to the Labor Department, the Licensing Bureau, they check everybody. They make them take tests. We don't want people in our homes not having a license, doing electrical work, doing plumbing work. These men and women in that office are working hard, like I said, 24/7. And it's an honor to be there with them, coming into the office every day, proud that I know these people are doing the right thing for our residents. And there again, like I said, public service work. We are here to work for the residents.
Sure. And, you know, one of the advantages of being a civil servant in Suffolk County is having union representation. You know, and you and I have had these conversations before, but, you know, for the benefit of our listener, why do you think it is important for someone to have union representation?
I believe that the union started way, way back because, here's a perfect example, I could have a worker, an owner that just abuses us, doesn't give us what we're entitled to. I'll give you a perfect example. When you work on a municipal job, you're supposed to get prevailing wage.
Right.
All laborers in Nassau and Suffolk County, some of those companies are not paying them. We're taking them to court.
They bill for it.
They bill for it.
But they keep the money.
Right. If we all remember years ago, we got a few of them that had to go to court, and some of them spent time in jail. They're getting the money from the municipalities. They should give it to the workers. I mean, it's not fair that if you're supposed to make $45 an hour and the guy meets you at the bank and said, hey, you're giving me half back, you're not being treated properly.
Right.
And that's done. I mean, that is done today. All these shyster companies that come in and get these jobs, promise, right, and then at the end of the day, they're not. And then we have to protect these people.
Yeah, sure.
This is our livelihood for Long Island to survive. Between the unions, between Nassau Suffolk building trades, between the police, we're the ones who make this county run. And we're trying to do the best we possibly can.
Sure. And you'll see, you know, some of these companies, when they get, when they get pinched for their unscrupulous behavior, and this, you know, listen, I'm trying to gain a competitive advantage. I'm just doing what I can to keep the lights on, whatever else, you know, all these different things. And the fact of the matter, if there's no gatekeeper, if there's no unions in the world, all you need is for a particular company somewhere to say, you know what, I need everyone to work 6 days a week instead of 5 days a week, but I'm not going to pay you anymore. Your hourly rate is going to be diminished. You're still getting the same check, but you've got to work an extra day. Or starve, right? That's the back end threat on this. Or starve. And so people go along with it to do what they have
to
do.
Well, they're afraid.
Now, everyone in that industry, every other business owner in that industry has lost a competitive advantage. And they have to now go back and oppress their workers. And it is a race to the bottom. The unions in this world are designed to prevent people from taking great advantage of their workforce and putting them in. I mean, just talking a little bit of history, you remember the concept of union towns, where they made of company towns, where they made people come to work and live and buy their food, and everything that they did was in this company town, so that all the money came back to the company. They gave you money to spend on company products and goods, and you couldn't go anywhere else. And again, under the threat of starvation.
I've been a union since I've been 6 years old. My father worked for Slitz Brewery in Brooklyn,
yep.
And we were on the picket line there. Back then, mm-hmm. there was 20 breweries. I don't think there's a brewery left in New York.
Sure.
But I am pro-union. We must always take care of the union people because they're the ones that are doing the job. I mean, getting back to the Labor Department, from the commissioner to the supervisors, they run a perfectly well-done ship. I mean, I am proud, like I said, to walk in that door every day. And it's union people.
Yep.
That's what I love about it.
Sure. And, you know, I think about the history of the labor movement and some of the big gains that we've had. There's a lot you can get done by asking nicely. There's a lot you can get done by asking smart questions or maybe, you know, putting some public pressure or whatever else. But you can see that the major changes were from large-scale protests, little bit of unrest, and I think people think that's what the union movement is, right? They say, okay, unions, that means disruption, that means loud, you know, screaming, bullhorns, you know, garbage pail fires, you know, whatever that nonsense is. But that's really not the case. It's really not what our focus is, what our drive is. But there are points in time where you say, you know, we're going to behave badly until you stop starving people. And those moments come. They do come. And I think, you know, again, like I say, it's a misnomer in the world where people think that's all unions do. We do a ton of good.
Yes, no, definitely. But I do agree, when you go to the wall, you have to do something.
Yeah.
You can't be not feeding these people.
Right.
Or giving them a quarter raise. It's just not going to happen.
Right. When they've got to decide whether or not they eat dinner or their kids, that's not a good position to be in. And really, my heart is not breaking right now for those folks that are in union movements, right? They have been represented and they have worked together and fought for and gained. It's the people that aren't represented that I feel for, the people that know for a fact they're being taken advantage of. And I'm sure there's a good percentage of people listening right now. They're driving, they're thinking to themselves, I am being taken advantage. I know I'm being taken advantage, but what can I do? Well, you on your own, maybe you can't. But you, as a union, forming a union and standing in solidarity with your brothers and sisters that you work with day in, day out, you can change a lot.
Yes, you can.
For sure.
And that's why I say we need that bill passed for that minimum wage.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and again, this is us as the labor movement, not just AME. All of labor is getting together and getting behind this thing, knowing full well that this is going to benefit people that aren't union members because we see them as yes. people also. Yes. We see the enemy as the people who are trying to line their pockets off of the labor of other people, trading time for money, and they control the means of production. Whatever it is that that company may produce, the boss controls the means of production. He had the money to control the means of production because other people produce things for him. He uses their time in the world to generate profits for himself, and he gives a very small percentage back, and we're told that's a good thing. But the fact of the matter is, it can work in a way where it's healthy and balanced, and it can work in a way where it is tipped heavily in favor of management. I think we're in those days, and not even, you know, I don't want to say management, I want to say owners, those people at the top of the chain, because even the people working in management that are trying to keep, you know, particular companies running, they're workers also. They get up, they get dressed,
they're human
they
beings.
Go in, they do what they have to do, right?
Yep.
It's the guy that owns the whole corporation, you know, a guy making $100 million a year in investments off to the side of whatever else it is, you know. I mean, there's a very small handful of people very specifically that I'm talking about that are killing the workforce, that are trying to shape the way the world is, and rather than us working collaboratively across the globe to raise up other countries, I feel like they are collaborating to make, you know, this country and other developed countries, you know, suppress wages, create the need for desperation, right? Where you have no choice but to show up and accept any working conditions, any sort of pay, whatever else, just shut up. Do what we tell you and go home or you'll starve.
I agree with you 100%.
And I'm sorry, a little preachy today. So you know what? Let's change the subject. Something very close to your heart, something I know you're proud of, the Suffolk County Firefighters Emerald Society.
Yes, this year I was gracious enough to be president of the Suffolk County Firefighters Emerald Society. all the fire departments in Suffolk County are more than welcome to become a member. We meet the third Friday of every month. Our big event, we're marching the St. Paddy's Parade in New York City.
Nice.
Coming down Fifth Avenue, the way the people applaud you, it's just a sight that I cannot believe. Let's just say we meet at 45th Street, make that right on Fifth Avenue. It's just unbelievable. Those 40 streets walking is nothing but pride. I'm going to put a little plug in because with the pandemic, we haven't had so many meetings, so we're starting again this year. But we're going to have a halfway to St. Paddy's fundraiser at Top Golf sometime in October or September. I hope to be back on your show before that so I can put a plug in there and let our members know we could use their help.
Awesome. No, I absolutely will make sure that that happens. So the Top Golf fundraiser is really just to help the Emerald Society do what it needs to do to get out to this parade.
Also do charity this year. Mm-hmm. With AME, we gave toys to the East End West Hampton Christmas parade out there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We gave a lot of children that needed toys. And also, talking about that, when we did the press conference with Steve Ballone at Hop Hog,
sure.
I met a cameraman there from News 12 who gave me a phone number so we could get pajamas and socks for all the young kids out east. So everybody's helping everybody. That's why I talk about union, togetherness.
Sure.
And communication is the number one thing.
Yep. And listen, you know, I mean, you really wrap a nice bow around all of what we talked about today. So you're a volunteer. You have a civil service job that is designed to help people. Then you volunteer to help people. And then on top of that, you work with a society of volunteers to raise money to give socks and coats and, you know, all these other different things. You know, like, you know, you're the type of person and so many in civil service jobs, but unions in general, they spend their time and their energy pouring themselves back into the world, back into their community, making the world a better place.
Because I look at it like even this bill, Dan, if we don't do it, who's going to do it for them?
Right.
You know, we're here. If we're in this opportunity, in this spot, we should do it.
Right.
We should just make sure that all members and people are being taken care of.
And it's better for everyone.
Yes.
Right. You know, a little bit more money in everybody's pocket, including the people that work, like we say, in these quote-unquote entry-level jobs, that means they're going to be able to afford to do things. And guess what? They desperately have to. You know, listen to this myth. Okay, so if you give $600 to a rich man, he'll invest it, he'll grow it, he'll whatever, blah, 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 blah. You give $600 to someone poor and they'll just spend it right away. That is absolutely insanity to me. You're talking about someone with no resources that desperately needs to do things in their life just to get by, basic things, you know, maybe the dentist appointment for their kid, whatever it may be, versus somebody that has so much that they have no need for it in the first place. Yeah, of course that guy is going to invest the $600 and make it grow because he has no need for the $600. He's not a better person. He has better resources, sometimes from luck, sometimes from birth, sometimes from being, you know, awful, whatever, you know. But the bottom line is, if we can get more money into the everyday person's pockets and we start at the bottom end and we move $15 to $21, those folks are going to be able to do things with that money that revitalize the economy. And all of a sudden, we all benefit, despite,
yes,
you know, this actually benefiting a portion of our population. But I hate to say it, too many people, you know, we look at the poverty level here in Suffolk County and there's a specific number for a single person, what they need to make, and too many people make less than that. And it is below the $15, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to take up too much of this time ranting about the stuff that I'm mad about. Instead, I'll change the subject again. Bill, you know, I want to thank you for being here.
No, thank you.
All too often, I run my mouth about stuff that's interesting to me or things sometimes like today that make me aggravated. Is there anything we didn't touch on here today that you think we should really
No, other than, like I say, we have to respect our state legislators that are working hard for us.
Sure.
We have to get these bills passed. We have to get these grants out. Like I said, Monica Martinez is going to work with the other three senators and has nothing to do about politics. This is business.
Right.
We were promised these grants. We'd like to see them come. And like I said, and to get that bill passed, that we need that money for these people to live on Long Island here. It's a beautiful place to live, but the average person needs that money, that $6. Hey, they might have a child that's sick. They right. might have a child that needs that medicine.
Right.
We need this bill passed, and I'm asking everybody to please call your legislators and support that bill by Jessica Ramos and LaToya Joyner.
I appreciate it. So my guest this morning, Bill Feese, Vice Chair of the Long Island Firefighters Legislative Committee, AME member in Consumer Affairs, and also very much involved in the Suffolk Firefighters Emerald Society. You hear about the good things that they do there as well. Bill, I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
No, Dan, thank you very much for having me.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.